experience, and it's built into who we are as a church. So let's be sure to stay in fellowship. The kids will be out there sweating, and we know you old people didn't want to do that. I'm your voice. I'm your voice. So we're going to let you stay in here. I mean, you're free to go out with the kids, but the food will be in here, like they said. Amen. Okay, how many ready for the word? Whew, all right. Can I take this off? I'm already sweating. Hot in here. They say it's 68. I don't believe a word of it. Amen. I promise that's all I'll take. Oh, might roll up my sleeves. So we're beginning a new series. Say praise the Lord. It's on the 23rd Psalm of all things. Probably be 4 or 5 messages. And the Lord just laid it on my heart. And I know we've obviously referenced 23rd Psalm probably every other Sunday. Everybody knows it. In fact, in a minute, I'm just going to have you just read it all together. Most of you could even do it by heart. If they have it on the screen, we'll throw it up. If not, we know it by heart. But because we think we know it, it's sometimes overlooked. And as I broke it down, I realized there are, in those 6 short verses, there are 12 blessings that we can claim just from the 23rd Psalm. 12 blessings. So we're going to get into that today. We're going to talk about the shepherd, and then we'll get into number 1. And as the weeks go on, we'll do 2 or 3 every week. And I think it's going to be the kind of series that's foundational. You know, every once in a while we need to go back to the basics that says he's with you. In fact, we've entitled this Never Alone. Never Alone. One of my favorite TV show is Alone. That's because I'm such an extrovert. That's why that is. I love watching that show. And these I don't know how many have watched it. You know what I'm talking about. And these people go to this place where there are no people, nothing's there. They're all by themselves. They are the camera crew. There's literally nobody there. And they're in a competition to see who 10 people start out, who's the last man standing, and they win hundreds of thousands of dollars for being the last one. And they call it Alone. And what usually gets them is something they didn't necessarily expect. They got lonely. They started missing their wife that only a week ago they had an argument with. They miss those kids that are driving them crazy. They miss, we're meant to be together. We're not built to be alone. Some people claim to be like, well, I love being alone. Yeah, but there are limits to that. Because we're just made to be part of a community. That's why Jesus didn't leave a doctrine. He left a church. It doesn't matter so much what you believe if you don't believe it together. If you don't come together. Church is important. And by the way, it matters which church you go to even. I hear people say it all the time, doesn't matter what church you go to. I think it does. I'm not saying we're better than anybody, but I'm just saying, look at what you need to go to a church that loves you, that prays for you, understands your needs, and will minister to you. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm not just talking about me. There's Larry and Diane's staff. There's about 40 people in this church involved in pastoral care. 40 people. That's a lot. That's a fourth of the church ministering to the other three-fourths. It's a lot of work, but people are doing it because I believe it shouldn't just be a pastor's job. I think we should all You know, especially those who have the gift of pastoring, we need to be there for each other. Can I get an amen? So let's, before we get into the 12 blessings, let's look at the Lord is my shepherd. It's saying the word Lord, but it's identifying him by what he does and who he is. And he is a shepherd. Now, I went to the dictionary. We can look up the definition of a shepherd. It's someone who shepherds sheep. A noun. But let's not look at the noun. Look at the verb, to shepherd. And it means to tend or guard as a shepherd. To shepherd the flock. To watch over carefully is what it means to shepherd. And this is what God does in our lives. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. There's going to be a lot of scriptures in all this series, and the reason is this. I want you to have a whole series of scriptures that you can go to on any of these 12 topics. You can literally just put them on your refrigerator like an encyclopedia and say, I'm lonely today, I'm struggling today, I'm hurting today, I need something today, and you can go to the scriptures that we'll share with you. Is that a good prospect? It's nothing really deep, amen? I'm not trying to be deep. I'm just trying to cover it and say, thus saith the Lord into your life. I want to speak the word into your life. And I don't think I'll preach anything you haven't heard before, but sometimes it's not about the mental getting of Scripture. It's about the receiving of the spiritual impact of that Scripture. How many understand what I'm saying? 1 Samuel 17, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. David was raised as a shepherd. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. Wow. This is as a teenager, these kids up here are doing that. Woo, hallelujah, bring them back in. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. David said, I've done it and I can do it. I have the heart of a shepherd, which is not the heart of a weakling. It's a heart of a warrior. Heart of a warrior. Hallelujah. And then in the New Testament, we have a corresponding definition. In John chapter 10, verse 11. Here Jesus says, I give them eternal life. Not finished. And I give them, thank God for plan B. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, somebody you hire to help you, a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, the one who does not own the sheep, do you know you're owned by God? You're not a rental. Sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. God, my God. Not a hireling. He will protect us. Watch it. He will protect us. Jesus again says in John chapter 10, I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Glory to God. You're taken care of. The shepherd is watching over you, protecting you. You're in the palm of his hand. You need to go to bed with this thought. The devil cannot have his way with you. Cannot snatch you out of his hand. Oh, that's my God. Can I get an amen? Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But number three, he provides for our needs as the shepherd. Isaiah chapter 40. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Ah, hallelujah. Look at the verbs. He feeds, he gathers, he carries, he leads. That's what the shepherd is doing in your life. We are his first and in some ways only concern. Priority number one. These shepherds, in the summer months when they're out in the hills, would live with them in camp. They didn't go home at night. They were with them until winter came, and then they'd bring them all home, put them in the sheepfold, and take care of them all winter as well. But these shepherds, they feed, they gather, they bring us back together, they carry us when we can't walk ourselves. Whew. How many have seen the picture of the little lamb on the shoulder? And he leads us. If he moves, the sheep will follow. My God. Matthew chapter 18, verse 12. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99? How many have heard this scripture? And go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying. And if he should find it, assuredly, I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. So it's good to know that if we get lost, mess up, start going the wrong way, get away from the flock, that Jesus will go after us. He will seek us. He won't just look at his watch and say, well, I wonder when they're coming back. He'll leave 99 to go after the one. As I was studying this, it dawned on me, you know what? He is so confident that the 99 would be okay that he leaves them to go after the one. Even when you don't, even when you wonder where the shepherd is, you're still in good hands. He still puts you in a good place. You may not feel him all the time, but he puts you by the streams of water. He puts you in the grassy places. He puts you in a place of shade and sun. My God, hallelujah, my shepherd, whether you feel him or not, he has the 99 taken care of. Glory to God, amen. Come on and praise him if you agree. Wow. And I think there's something to be said here. They're not just straying from the Lord, they're straying from the fold. Now, this is important in this day and age. Pastors know this. I think some of you know it. But, in fact, someone just mentioned it this morning, that loyalty, dedication are at an all-time low in churches all over the world, or especially in America. There is an idea that I talk to people sometimes. I say, well, what church do they visit? What church do you go to? Oh, we go to about 12. We just go around, and you know, if they're having a big day, then that's where we go. And they're okay with that. Can you imagine a sheep jumping around between the folds? It's important to connect, not just attend. Even if you're here every Sunday, some of you are here every Sunday, you attend faithfully, but you're not yet connected. Been here a year, still don't know anyone very well. So it's important to understand that the one didn't leave the Lord, just the Lord. He left the fold. And we need to be connected to that. Okay? So we need to have a desire. I guess what I'm saying is don't just sit there and say, well, if I stray, he'll come find me. Because you need to have a desire to stay. But sometimes you do wander too far. You get too detached. Somebody hurts your feelings. Or whatever it may be, you get too busy. We get detached sometimes from the life of the fold. We have to have a desire to stay and not wander off, because what the scripture is, notice in the scripture there that we read in Matthew 18, it says, if he should find it. Just because you wander doesn't guarantee you're coming back. Because there's wolves out there. And some sheep are so dumb, they actually walk off cliffs. Some sheep, they get their heads stuck in the thorns and the thistles and can't get themselves out. Some go so far that the shepherd can't find them. Am I hitting all this? Some get entangled. Some are too lost to be found. Some fall off cliffs. And some get eaten by wolves. I think I've hit all the categories of people drifting too far. There's no guarantee. I mean, the shepherd will do everything he can, but he's not going to force you back, so you have a choice to make. Do you want to be part of this, or do you not want to be a part of this? How many are still with me? How many are upset with me? Okay. Praise God. 1 Peter 2:25. For you were like sheep going astray, but you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Woo, hallelujah. Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, to the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. That great shepherd of the sheep. Blessing number one. Ready? What's wrong? You're smelling food? They told me to go to noon. Well, we ain't doing that. We're halfway through. Say number one. Number one, he provides. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's read the whole thing together. If we have it, let's throw it up there. I don't know if you're ready, but how many know it? Here we go. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores, you're starting to count the 12? My soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 37:25. Can I just give you some scripture real quick? I have been young and now am old. That is now my theme scripture. Some of you should be yours too. You won't admit it. Yet, say yet, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He provides, say he provides. Deuteronomy 2:7, for the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Now, this isn't Bible, but according to Jewish tradition, the shoes on their feet did not wear out. The clothes on their back did not fray or wear out for 40 years. It was a miracle. I don't know if that's true or not. The Jews believe that. But the point is, however, God provided. Even in the wilderness. Psalms 84:11. For the Lord your God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Listen, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Ooh, glory to God. See, for those who walk uprightly, he doesn't withhold any good thing. I've shared this story so many times, but it happened like 35 years ago, so that person's probably dead, so it don't matter. But they came up to me and they said, so-and-so is going to be my husband. I said, so-and-so is married. So while I'm praying, What do you mean you're praying for? She said, well, the Bible says the Lord will give me the desires of my heart. I said, desires maybe, lust not. Thank God I don't remember who that was. They might still be here, and they're like, I wish he would quit telling that story. And I don't know how that ended up either. Amen. I don't know. Are you still with me? Aren't you glad you have a crazy pastor? Yeah. All right, where am I? Psalms 80, I did that one. Matthew 6:33. Watch this. But seek first of all your lists of things you need. Maybe you should put kingdom of God at the top of the list. Because you need to seek that first if you want the rest of the list. And his righteousness. And say it like this: my whole list shall be added to me. All right? I give you permission to change that scripture and put it on your refrigerator. Okay. Philippians 4:18-19. You okay out there? Philippians 4:18-19. Indeed, I have all and abound. Paul, really? I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, A sweet-smelling aroma and acceptable sacrifice. You know, when you bless your brother and your sister, it's a sweet aroma to them and to God. Well-pleasing to God. Verse 19. And my God, I've been blessed. So listen. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If that doesn't encourage you, I might as well quit. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. But there's a twist to that I shall not want that we don't get sometimes, because we want a lot of things that may not be good for us. We want a lot of things we don't deserve. We want a lot of things that would pull us away from God. So how does this get answered, I shall not want? A very young girl was quoting the 23rd Psalm one day, and she misquoted it a little bit. And here's what she said. The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. And I think if that's all you want, you'll probably have everything else. When you covet everything else above his kingdom and righteousness, you're probably not going to get anything. And if you do get something, you'll mess it up. Lord, I need $1 million. You'd blow it in 6 weeks. Come on. Most of you are saying, no. Yeah, whatever. You'd be coming up the driveway in that new Lamborghini. I don't even know what a Lamborghini looks like. Whatever. How many are still here? God bless you. Is it the food keeping you? I don't know about the preaching. You okay? Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am, to be content. I think sometimes you have to be content with what you have before you can receive what you want. The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. Hebrews 13:5 from the Passion Translation. Don't be obsessed with money, but live content with what you have. For you always have God's presence. Woo! For hasn't he promised you, I will never leave you, never. And I will not loosen my grip on your life. Can I read that again? But live content with what you have. For you always have God's presence. It kind of implies, really, what else do you need? You know, when I pray for things, if I can just get to the place where I know he's heard my prayer, that's really all I need. It's yes, it's no, it's maybe, it's wait, but as long as he's answered, as long as I felt his presence in my prayer, I can wait, I can take a no, I can live with the yes. Hallelujah! Somebody help me in this place. Glory to God. I know this isn't deep preaching, but not all of you are deep. Maybe it's the meanness this morning. I don't know what it is. How many are happy in Jesus? Woo! I want you to put this on the screen, our theme song. Look at the words. We're going to read them first, and then we'll get into this. We've been singing this for 40 years. Turn, and every word on this is significant. Turn, turn, turn. Repent. Change your ways. You can't get what you think you want if you don't know, if you're not, like we said, seeking first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Turn your what? Your eyes. What you gaze upon, you become. You are what you gaze at. Come on. Turn your eyes where? Where? Upon who? Upon not a where, but a who. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You know, some of the mystics and the old Catholics and some of them, they talk about visualizing while you're praying and actually imagining and seeing Jesus sitting on that throne and you coming before the throne and praying to Jesus. And there he is on the throne. Sometimes it helps to visualize that thing because that's what's happening. Look, what are you doing? Look, and don't look part-time. Look full-time. Look full. Give it your all attention. It's not a passing lay me down to sleep prayer. It's a lifestyle. Look full in his face. That is wonderful. Woo! Wonderful face. And you know what? The things. Oh, we're back to the things. The stuff. The schedules. The people. The problems. The family. The money. And the things. How many know there are things on earth and then there are things in heaven? Well, the things of earth will grow. It's a process. They'll grow. They'll change. We'll grow strangely. I tell you, as you get close to God, it's a mystery. It is an experience getting close to God. Sometimes it's like a roller coaster. That's why people raise their hands when they get to the top. Sometimes when the Lord moves, you're like, amen? Woo! Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I've had spiritual experiences that were like that. And by the way, you're taking your hands off. They tell you to raise your hand. Don't hang on to the bar. I see some people there looking. We were just in Cedar Point for 2 whole days. Took me another 2 days to recover. I was walking around in the park, and I was close to one of the roller coasters, and I heard a woman scream. I mean, we always hear them scream. This woman, I'm sure, lost her life on that roller coaster. She screamed like somebody was stabbing her. Get off the thing, woman. Gosh, if you're dying, why ride it? I mean, please. How many know what I'm talking about? Then I got on a roller coaster and I'm going, ah! I'm allowed at 71. All right. But the things of the world, the things of the world, the things you think you got to have, you need, the things you can't do without, those things become dim. They become less important. What you thought you needed as you get closer to Jesus, you realize, you know, I don't know that I really need that. Because when I get close to Jesus, that need in me is filled by him, and I don't need a bigger TV. I don't need a trip here. I don't need this. I don't need that. All I need is him. So the things of the earth grow strangely dim in the light. So you got a light coming up and things getting dimmer. Isn't that weird? So as his light gets brighter, the things of earth get dimmer. Wow. They must get hidden some way. Somehow, in the light of his glory and grace, turn your eyes, stand with a sheep on ye. Stand with me. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. We're going to come to the communion tables. If you need prayer today, you're in need. Amen. I want you to come. We're going to pray with you. Come to the altar. Jason's going to continue to lead us. And no one's leaving, because we're going to feed you in a minute. Hang in there.
In his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. Turn your eyes and turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We turn our eyes to you, Lord. Just turn your eyes in the light of his glory and grace. Just turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonder. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Just turn your eyes in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
Take care of us and lead us and guide us no matter what our life is like. change our life and turn us from the way we are, Lord, and head us on the way that you are. So we bless your name and we praise you every day of our life. Help us to continue to do these things no matter what we're up against, Lord. We just thank you and give you glory and honor and praise for everything that you do for us. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Everybody just be seated. Need a little bit of time to transition. I'm going to pray over the food, and then I'll come back up and dismiss people to go get food. Blessed Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all these kids that are going back to school, Lord God, and just continue to pray and bless them, Lord God, and let your light shine upon them when they're at school, Lord God, and throughout their life, Lord God, and let people see you. And Lord, I pray that you bless this food and bless the hands that prepared it. Bless our fellowship in Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Consider all those